Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
At Discount Tire, we know your time is valuable. Get 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online. Did you know Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Check out our current deals at DiscountTire.com or stop in and talk to an associate today. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.
Podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
At Sandy Spring Bank, we care about people, not transactions. So we concentrate on creating personalized solutions to start or grow a business that provides for your family, to purchase a home that will house the memories you make there, to save so you can enjoy today and then pass on your legacy to future generations. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk. Visit sandyspringbank.com/real. Mortgage, home equity, and other credit products offered by Sandy Spring Bank.
Welcome back to the Axon Bulletin. It's Tuesday afternoon. It's full teal this afternoon. It's myself, your host, Declan McConville. It's going to be Patrick McGilp, Lawrence Conley. Gentlemen, how are we?
Doing well. What a game at the weekend. Everybody in the world of Celtic's got to be happy.
Yeah. We sure are happy. We'll be looking right over that game at the weekend because it is probably the best performance, arguably, under Ange Postecoglou in the league so far. It's probably one of the most dominant away performances I've ever watched as a Celtic fan. It was all one-way traffic for large periods of the game. And we'll be looking at transfer links. We're seeing Celtic linked with three players from the J-League. We'll be looking at Thursday's match. That's the headline, or bullet line today is, we want everyone up and running. These comes from Ange's comments, picked up on in the Daily Record last night when he was speaking about the game on Thursday, saying there's no such thing as a dead rubber at Celtic. Patrick, come to you first. Dundee United away, it was always going to be a hard fixture. After Thursday night's injuries, Jota, Stephen Welsh, Anthony Ralston, it looked as though it was even going to be even tougher, but no issues whatsoever.
No, none at all. And, you know, the last two games against Dundee United have been pretty tough. Hate to bring the mood down, but we lost a league title the last time we went to Tannadice, and then we drew 1-1 very disappointingly at the end of September. The last time we played them at home. So, no, expecting a tough game, and even with all those injuries racking up, you thought, you know, if we're going to drop points in December, it's probably going to be happening soon. But then, out of nowhere, well, not out of nowhere, but semi-surprisingly, you get the most dominant away performance of the last 7 or 8 years. certainly statistically and on the eye as well. I mean, we're absolutely immense first half. Tom Rogic called upon his inner Paddy McCourt, his inner Lionel Messi to score the first goal. And then the pass from McGregor and the touch from Turnbull for the second as well. It's absolutely phenomenal. And the second half wasn't too bad either.
No, second bad wasn't too bad either. And that third goal certainly sealed the deal in the second half. Lawrence Wright, Lionel Messi's got posters of Tom Rogic in his wall.
He's studying videos how to improve his game, isn't he? Week in week he's getting him sent over. But I tell you what, young Scales, what a composed finish. I know it took a deflection, but the way he opened his body, didn't panic. Just another player with minutes in his legs. So it's all good. Good to see Taylor back. I thought much better balance to the team. We just seemed to move it quicker, which probably resulted in, you know, was part of that performance, the fact that it was more natural having a left-back at left-back.
Yeah, I thought Greg Taylor played well at the weekend, coming back in, especially after that pass that you touched on there, the last time we played at Tannadice. It was the game that we ultimately succumbed to losing the league title. Something I've spoken about a lot is mentality throughout this Celtic team. What did it say about some of them that were there on Sunday, that played in that game a few months back, that they could go up there and just, you know, see it out, no bother, and play to what Ange's been asking them to do so?
Well, I mean, off the top of my head, I can only think of three players that played in both games. You know, I think it was maybe McGregor, Turnbull and Rogic that played in both games. I'm not even sure if Rogic played back in March, because it is a totally new side we've got, effectively. But no, I mean, mentality-wise, you know, there's a lot of games. It's two games a week, basically, for the first half of the season. So to keep on grinding out results... Oh, he's dropped out. To keep on grinding out results, you know, Lawrence, it is pretty impressive that even after, you know, disappointments in Europe and a tough September, we can still keep on going and just sort of, you know, grind... To put out a performance like that when we've been playing two games a week for 4 months, it's really impressive.
Listen, United are one of the better teams I've played, so I was worried about going away to Tannadice, but, you know, I was looking at the run of games, I've got quite a few home games coming up, but thinking Tannadice is going to tell us kind of what type of a team we are, you know, that they've been on. They've had a fairly decent season so far under Tanner Court, and I thought, yeah, United is a decent team. They've caused us problems at Celtic Park. This is really going to be a measure of how far we've progressed since then. And as you say, it never felt we were going to lose a goal, never mind, you know, drop any points. It was just so dominant.
Yeah, it was incredibly dominant. Yeah, I'm just about to say to any of the listeners, I'm having bad Wi-Fi problems, not affected by storms, but I'm just having a disaster. So if I do drop in and out, my apologies, Patrick, and you're the capable hands with Patrick Lawrence. Patrick, I'll come back to you in this one. Starfelt and Vickers, it was a partnership that was really developing before Carl Starfelt picked up that injury. Obviously, Vickers was out the game last week due to personal reasons. But together, they just looked so solid. And, you know, for a, you know, defence that was in crisis for many parts reported by the mainstream media, two of them just looks as if they've got such a great understanding of each other. And I thought Vickers at the weekend was immense. He just keeps everything so, so simple. And it just looks as if nothing's too much for him.
Yeah, and you know, I think they probably complement each other pretty well, because Vickers isn't the fastest of players and Starfelt isn't that comfortable, you know, passing the ball. Although he doesn't make that many mistakes, you can tell he's not the most comfortable passing out from the back. But they both sort of, they help each other with their weaknesses. They make sure they cover for each other. There's not many mistakes between them. And they're two of the most important players on our side. You can talk about Kyogo and Jota, but Starfelt and Vickers are equally as important, because, you know, with Ange's system, we want to be going forward all the time, but as Ange said several times, he doesn't pop corks or champagne corks for clean sheets. He just wants to limit the opposition's chances, because if they don't have chances, they can't score. I think Carter Vickers has been sensational since he came in, but Starfelt's improvement since his shaky start at Tynecastle has been... You know, it's been phenomenal, and it's been really, really important to our success. And he's arguably our most important player just now.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, defence, centre defence has always been a position that I think even, you know, in recent years when we've had success, it's still been a position that we've been weak in and we've not always trusted the players there. But just now we do seem to have two real solid defenders. Lawrence, the injury to Tony Ralston last week gave us a chance to see Josip Juranovic go to his natural position at right back on Thursday evening, and then he started there at the weekend. What did you make of him at right back? Did you see much difference in his game compared to when he plays at left?
I think
the opinion it was much a similar performance, or did they just? I thought it looked to be a bit more comfortable at right back. To be honest, you know, Dundee United tried that ball every time for Charlie McGrew down our right hand channel, and they never get any joy because Juranovic just dealt with it all the time. Or Vickers took the step across and got in there.
Defensively, you know, it was sound. Kind of, I suppose, midfield did a couple of slap passes. Got up the line a lot more and put in some decent crosses. I think there's a bit more finesse about his crosses, that, whereas Tony just seems to hammer them across sometimes. But, yeah, probably the only way he was going to get the jersey off of Ralston was Ralston getting injured. So, unfortunately, you know, Tony's getting injured. But we've got a right-back that can step in, and Greg Taylor's back. You know, it just gave such a, I thought, better balance to the whole team, having Greg there. You know, you have no worries, I think, about Juranovic, whether he plays left or right back. The only worry is he going to stay on penalties, or are we going to give them to someone else? Because I'd quite like to see him staying on the penalties.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't give us too many hearts and mouths, not with Panekas, but as long as he hits back in it, none of us are really that bothered. Patrick, Greg Taylor, for, you know, a long part of Celtic career, has been one of the scapegoats in the team. Probably due to the fact that a lot of the guys around him just are better football players, but in the Ralston mould, he does a job for us. What did you make him coming back in? I know he was getting high praise in terms of his stats in the game. It was his first game back for a long time. Important to, you know, get him back, I think, at this point in time of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, in a performance with so many standouts, you're arguably better not having a standout performance as a defender, because you're looking at all these midfield and attacking players creating so many chances, and we're giving them nothing at the back. And so you don't really get to see people like Taylor and Juranovic and Carter Vickers and Starfelt. And that's maybe what you want, because if those players are to stand out, it might be because of a mistake. I didn't think he was... It wasn't like a man-of-the-match performance. I thought he'd done well for his first... I think it's his first start back, I might be right in saying. One of his first games back anyway. And I think it does. I think it brings better balance to the team. I think even Mikey Johnson looks slightly better with a left back behind him as opposed to a right back. Not to say Juranovic done badly at left back. It just gives more balance to the team, makes the team more comfortable, because Juranovic is making passes and taking touches and putting crosses in with his right foot on the left side. And I think it slows the game down a bit because you're taking an extra touch or two. So
he's coming
even
in
if
inside. Yeah.
Aye, exactly. So even if Taylor isn't the most accomplished, at least he can put in crosses first time as opposed to having to cut back and can make passes first time. So I think it quickens the game up a bit, which is only good news for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Lawrence, I looked at a graphic from the game on Sunday there, and it showed Greg Taylor and Juranovic in very advanced position during about the halfway line, leaving the two centre-halves to sit. We'll come on to Callum McGregor in that number six position. But it then allowed the central areas for us to overload in the central areas, which I think really caught Dundee United off guard. We also saw, we spoke about the genius of Tom Roddick earlier on, dropping wide to get that ball. I think, you know, the point that you said earlier on, it did look as if there was a greater balance to that Celtic team. And again, you've got guys slotting back in like Greg Taylor, knows where he's to be, and it's just playing to that Postecoglou system that we became so familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's any... You know, it's not a chance that Ange came out early in the season and praised Taylor and Ralston for the way they've played for him as inverted fullbacks. The balance is brilliant. Patrick touched on it. Taylor just moves the ball quicker because it's on his left. It's just more natural, where Juranovic is having to just take an extra touch, and it slows it down and gives the other team a wee bit time to get settled. Well, inverted fullbacks, it's overloading the midfield, isn't it? And it's just giving us those extra players, freeing Roger to do his magic. And yeah, brilliant. Turnbull, the great, you know, it was a great goal. Don't think it was his best performance. But Mikey Johnston, it was good to see him get 90 minutes. I think he's not back to the level he can get to, but it was a better performance than he's had recently. And I think he's a guy that really needs to rebuild his confidence. You know, Taylor, I think, helped a bit. But maybe it's just minutes as well. You know, Ange just touched on that. He needs to get everyone up and running. We need people that can just come in like Greg and just slot right in. And, you know, you're not noticing, you know, there's no degradation of the team when Greg Taylor comes in. If anything, you know, it lifted a wee bit. So we need players like that. And Cal Mack back to number six. The boy's just amazing, isn't he? He's just everywhere. It's, you know, we're spoiled for number sixes now, I think. You know, you've got Beto and McCarthy. Cal Mack, don't know where that leaves Sorrell. You know, I don't know if he's maybe one that's going to be, we'll try and move on in January, but he's got to be fourth choice out of those, hasn't he? So, yeah. And the front three was just immense. And obviously that's where Ange's, he's looking to bring in, you know, another reinforcement there. But, yeah, it's all looking good. You know, if you put in performances like that, you're not going to lose games.
No. Patrick, on that, you know, the overload in the opposition in central areas, a lot's been spoke about on here, especially between the three years, about that midfield, getting the balance right. But McGregor is at number six on Sunday, was absolutely sensational. Some of the passes he was picking out, his positional play was excellent. He was covering for the, you know, Starfelt and Vickers, which I think gives them greater confidence in the game. If we play like that every week, is that the midfield that we go with? Or would you like to see McGregor, you know, doing what Roderick and Turnbull was doing and getting into those advanced positions? Because we know Callum McGregor likes a goal as well. But for a lot of the times in the game, he was getting right up there and about it too, and probably was unlucky not to score his sale.
Yeah. I mean, his influence, he just sort of pulling the strings. It's unbelievable, really, just how good he is. I think I said a few times, I think he's the best midfielder in Scotland on his day. I know people like Roderick, but I still think it's Callum McGregor. And I think Sunday showed that he certainly staked a claim. But no, that's the midfield that I would play most of the time, with him in the six and Turnbull and Roderick ahead of him. Obviously, you need to rotate. You can't play the same three guys 50 games a season. You know, you have players like McCarthy and Beaton that can come in. You can move McGregor forward. You even seen him at left wing under Rodgers in that 2017-18 season. I don't think I'd like to see that again, if I'm being honest. But he can play a multitude of positions. And by the looks of things, so can Hatate, who will be coming in awfully soon. So it gives us even more cover. But no, I prefer him in that six role. Maybe not in Europe. Maybe I'd like to see us go a wee bit more defensive in Europe. Maybe bring in Beaton and McCarthy. But or even to slow the game down if we're 2 or 3 nil up domestically and maybe move McGregor forward then. But no, when we're playing domestically and we're trying to play free-flowing attacking football, I'd like to see McGregor in the role he was in Sunday.
Yeah, I thought when your Beaton came on, Lawrence, he looked very comfortable again. He was pinging passes about like nobody's business. But again, it's just good that we've got players that can come off the bench and just slot in so comfortable, so easily, which is just something that, you know, we've asked a lot of questions about the squad, but now we're starting to see the squad being used that wee bit better than managed, and players getting up to the speed that the manager probably wants. It wasn't that he was badly managing the players, it was just that the fitness levels of players just wasn't there at that moment in time. But looking at that and Callum McGregor, Lawrence, are you quite happy now to, you know, leave him where he is? Is that number six if he plays like that week in, week out, or would you like to see him in that more advanced position getting an end of the balls that he was playing to David Turnbull, which again is absolutely fantastic. Well, I didn't realise how good it was. I mean, I was at the other end of the stadium in the shed, and I never knew, you know, the touch over the goal, he's definitely meant it. It's absolutely terrific goal.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet, but if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know, it's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox Internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for.
Based on Cox analysis of Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Well, I think he's wasted at number six. He's brilliant, but we've got, you know, another two crack at number six. He's there. I just think he's better further forward. And it's probably further forward where we lack options. In the midfield, you know, we've got Turnbull, Roderick, and it is McGregor. You're thinking, well, who else? So, but, you know, Ange says he wants to get everybody up to speed and maximise the squad. Maybe it is rotating them round and you know, horses for courses. Maybe we think, you know, the team's up against a weaker team, maybe then play McGregor a wee bit deeper, because you're going to, you know, have more of the ball and go forward more. But yeah, for me, I'd like to see him playing forward and getting back in amongst the goals. One thing that's left me wondering, you know, we've got the best defence in Scotland so far, and I'm wondering what Dan was on about Ange doesn't care about defence, because it seems to be one of the first things he's sorted out. You know, it's kind of going, for a guy that doesn't care about defence, it seems to be, right, he's sorted that, and now that seems a steady platform to build on, you're starting to see more variation in our play. Whether that's because the squad's learning more in training week on week and how they want to play, and he's just kind of gradually building it, I don't know, but for me, it seems to kind of, I've thought of that defence first of all. So whoever sits in front of it, we've got three good options, McGregor, Beaton and McCarthy. You know, Beaton was just, I thought it was great. Just his range of passing is just phenomenal, isn't it? Hopefully he'll get back amongst the goals. He used to score a couple of long-range efforts. But yeah, no, for me, McGregor further forward. For me, I prefer seeing him further forward. But listen, Ange knows his stuff. If he thinks he's better playing at number six, I'll just kind of bow to Angie's wisdom.
Yeah, I think we're all doing that. Saw a tweet the other day saying, you know, we're all living in Ange Postecoglou's world and whatnot. So, yeah, we certainly are. In practice, we're rolling back the years with some Celtic players that I think a lot is. Me, for one, you know, I probably know opposition to Tom Rogic heading to Qatar in the summer the other year. Beaton, if you'd have told me, you know, a couple of million quid, I'd have probably had them out the door. But, you know, Ange Postecoglou certainly turned these guys' form around. Well, mate, McMillan's came in the comments to say Rogic showed grit and determination, something I wouldn't said about him previously. I would say we've seen that, you know, in flashes from Tom Rogic, but see a goal like that the weekend, Patrick, it just lifts everybody around you, because you just see one individual where he gets the ball. I think he goes past four or five players. It's absolutely outrageous to score a goal like that, and the lift that must give players around him, you know, it's certainly something that gives you a right confidence booster in a game like that at a venue like that at Tannadice.
100%, and I think Evan's faster with the ball than he is without the ball. You said there about grit and determination as well. He was putting in some of challenges. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen Rogic put in that many challenges. Successful challenges as well. Ange said that. Ange was talking about how you can't get the ball off him because he's so strong. And it might not look that way when you're watching him, because sometimes his touches look a bit... You think he's going to lose the ball and he just sort of pulls something from nowhere and he manages to dribble around a few players. Well, it's unbelievable. It's like a string to his boot.
I think it's the futsal, because he's an ex-futsal player, isn't it?
It's amazing how he's managed to carry that over. But I mean, you can see the strength when he's trying to win the ball back, and he'd done that successfully so many times on Sunday. And I think we're probably missing that in the early part of the season. Both him and Turnbull were a bit, you know, powder puff, a bit lightweight, and players were running and passing right through them. And it sort of left Starfelt and I think probably Welsh at the time with quite a lot to do. But then the midfielders have sort of toughened up a bit, put in a few more challenges, and then Carter Vickers and Starfelt have improved as well. So it shows you know, that's the reason we're not conceding many goals.
Yeah, no, 100%. And just to give the boys at Social Recluse a wee shout out for this T-shirt, I think they probably do still have some left. It's back campaign in 2020, sorry. It says under it, "Where you went, others follow." Obviously a tribute to Celtic's greatest ever captain, and you know, defender. And as Lawrence was saying there, talking about defending, Lawrence, has it just been a seamless transition under Ange Postecoglou, where he's not needed to focus on the defence too much because we attack so well, and anything that does come at the back just seems to be dealt with so simply by the guys that are there, because you know, the two centre-halves just look now like very comfortable natural defenders that keep it very simple. I know Celtic fans get a bit wary when we start passing the ball around the back, but you know, there has been mistakes come from that this season, but two of them are showing that are decent players. And we'll get on to Vickers Price there, because somebody's talking about that in the comments, but is it just that we go forward so much we don't really need to worry about that defence?
I don't think so. I think, you know, a big change is Joe Hart. I think it really gives the confidence, even if he was a bit light in one of his balls across the front of goal on his touches. I think we've all seen the defence improving. You know, there has, at the beginning of the season, I don't know if they had the confidence that they have now when it comes to passing it round about the back. And I think that's grown just the more they do it. That, you know, they're quite relaxed now with Angie's instructions, saying, you know what, we can't take it. we can't, you know, the boy's in 10 yards of space. It's an easy pass to him. I don't need to worry about it. It's not just kind of lump it forward now. Seamless. We've not lost a lot of goals, but I'd definitely say that, you know, there's an upwards trajectory of the defensive performance. Welsh was unlucky to miss out, but I think that it is going to be Starfelt and Carter Vickers as our best partnership. God knows where, if Julian will ever be fit again. It's one of those ones, isn't it? You're going, what's keeping him out? You know, the Celtic physios must be scratching their heads as to why he's feeling twinges. But to be honest, is he going to be missed if those two kind of keep putting in performances like that? Probably not. You know, maybe he's another one that needs to get off the wage bill if he doesn't want to come back and play.
Yeah, there probably needs to be a fine balance for that. Obviously, we don't know too much about Chris Julian at this point in time. Patrick, we ourselves, you know, we've not seen him feature for nearly a year now, but we probably would prefer him not to be rushed back too soon if he is going to then be out for another 3 or 4 months. But, I think as Lawrence says there, you know, just now I think it's quite solidified with Vickers and Starfelt, and if even Julian was fit, I think he would be on the bench for us at this point in time.
100%. You know, he would probably be joint with Welsh as a sort of third option, because there's nobody going to, you know, on ability-wise or performance-wise, nobody's going to sort of dislodge Starfelt or Carter Vickers at the moment. When he's going to be back, we don't know. It'll probably be January now, if not later. Unless Ange is going to pull another one of his tricks and says, oh, he's not ready, and then starts him, like he did with McGregor and Kyogo against Leverkusen. But I think it'll probably be January. And, you know, with squad rotation, you know, Starfelt, I think, and Carter Vickers to an extent, have played quite a lot of games. You know, Starfelt had his sort of injury and he get rested in that period. But, you know, squad rotation is important, so it'll certainly get some game time. But I don't think he's part of the starting pairing if he was to come back tomorrow.
Lawrence, going to come to you in this one. Jimmy Holmes came in the comments to say that, you know, Vickers been quoted at 2.5 to 3 million now pay at Celtic. The thing I read said 10 million. I think you've seen that as well, Patrick. If the fee was that high, maybe paid 7 for Julian, what will be 2.5 years ago, I think. 2.5 years ago, come January time. And it will be, you know, 3 years in the summer. Would you gamble on £10 million? Probably not a gamble. Gamble's the wrong word. Would you pay £10 million for Cameron Carter-Vickers? If you paid 7 for Julian, we know he's a player. I mean, we know he's only probably going to get better for us, and he's really important to us. Ange Postecoglou,
obviously. I don't think it's how much you paid for Julian decides how much you pay for Carter Vickers. I think it's
just what's your transfer pot.
So I think it comes down to what's your transfer pot. Where else needs strengthened? And if your transfer pot's 10 million, are you going to all blow? It's like we could have kept Robbie Keane. Gordon Strachan had the opportunity to buy Robbie Keane or not buy Robbie Keane and buy another 3 players. So, or was it Bellamy? I can't remember. It was Bellamy had the option to buy and keep.
Bellamy.
Yep. But he decided not to, and then because the team needed improvement, and the transfer pot was only so big. Is he worth 10 million? I think it's hard to say so far. You know, he's decent, he's 23. American, I think the 2.5, if I've got that agreed, it's a no-brainer to kind of activate that. When you get up to 10 million, you're really looking at your budget, aren't you? Because that's a huge chunk. If it's 10 in him, how much is Jota? 6.5, 7.5? You know,
6.5, I think.
So that'd be 16.5 between just those two. For much of the team standing still, I know you get to retain them in the team, but you're kind of going, right, where's money to improve the team then? So, yeah, it's going to see how, I suppose, whoever comes in this January window works out that and who we sell. Listen, if you can get 5 million for Barkas and a Yeti for, you know, for both of them, buy one, get one free deal or something, it makes it easier to invest, doesn't it? But, yeah, 10 million's a lot for us. I can't remember the last time we spent, you know, that, what was it, Edward? Was he 9.5?
Yep, it was 9. Yep, nine. Never spent £10 million.
Yeah, it's kind of, so Edward's, listen, we made money on Edward. I don't know how he's going on now, if we're going to make any money in a sell-on, but it'd be a sticky one to blow all that on Carter Vickers. I think you need to just kind of look at things in the round and see where how much money you've got in total and where else needs strengthened.
Yeah. Patrick, obviously, Roddick's touched on it. We're going to come on to the three boys from the G League, but it could be a fine balance here because, you know, I've been keeping up to date with Dan, who's appeared in Axon before. He's a Japanese football journalist over there. And he's speaking about the price tags of the three boys that were linked with just down, basically, you know, and a roundabout being seen with daylight robbery for the prices that were getting quoted at in the Japanese media to bring them over here. Could it be that fine balance that we, you know, we exploit markets that we don't usually go into, pick up some real gems and players, and then we look to, you know, using the bulk of the transfer budget that, as Lawrence touched on players like Jota and Vickers, that it's probably likely that we are going to get a, you know, decent sell on for eventually, and are very important to the manager's system.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure of the price in total for the three guys we're going to be bringing in January. I know one of them's a bit of a weird one. He's not meant to be that impressive, but Hatate and Maeda are meant to be pretty good. And then you've obviously got Kyogo as well, who I think...
Well, the Japanese the league's best 11 for the season, so it must be not bad.
All right. Kyogo finished third top goal scorer. He left halfway through, so there you go. And he was apparently a steal, and I think we'd agree he was a steal. I think we got him for something like 3 or 4 million. I can't quite remember, but I think 10 million for Carter Vickers, I don't think you can justify that, if I'm being perfectly honest. I know he's been impressive, but I think you can get a player just as good as Carter Vickers for less. Starfelt has been, you know, man of the match the last couple of games, in my opinion, and we got him for 5. And it took a month or two to settle in, but in the course of 3 or 4 years, what's a month or two? So I wouldn't pay 10 million for Carter Vickers, not only that, because I heard he was out of contract at the end of the season. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know what's true, because, you know, the guy in the comments said 3, we've read 10, and then I've also seen a freebie on Twitter, so we'll see what happens. I wouldn't pay 10 personally. With Jota though, I think I would probably pay the 6.5.
You think?
I would pay the 6.5. I'm just thinking. You know.
Oh, no, he's thinking personally, can he raise that money just in case there's going to be a dream going?
It's just whether Celtic decide to pay it or not, you know, because I think, you know, with Patrick Robertson earlier, we've seen in the past, I think we were quoted being over 10 million to sign those two players. Jota's arguably better than the both of them, and obviously we're being quoted 6.5. So, you know, it's whether you can get a player for slightly less than that, but at the same time, he's in our hands now. He seems to be enjoying his football. He's a young player. He's not only effective in terms of statistics and influence, but he's actually quite exciting to watch. I mean, he's tremendously exciting to watch every single game. And he makes a good star of the Christmas ad. So what more do you want for £6.5 million? But yeah, just going back on the Japanese boys, sort of exciting to see what they bring. I think Maeda is a sort of winger/striker, and the other two are midfielders. So we're coming into positions where we do need the depth. And if we can get them in at 1:01 PM, the 1st of January, that would help as well.
Yeah, that'd be a big lift, and especially going away, Lawrence, to winter training camp. And that kind of, you know, ties in here with one of the points David Kelly's made in the comments, saying that Taylor has become another player who gets better while injured, which I think is a really important point. And what Patrick was talking about in Starfelt there, is it that some of these guys, when they get that wee rest and go out, come back in and just look so comfortable in their system because they're getting a chance to work on it? They were spoken about international breaks and letting some of the guys, you know, work with Ange during that time. But is it a possibility that, you know, once we get into the January and we get these couple of weeks training, we could see a completely different Celtic side when they come back, because the time period that Ange had to work with the core of the team when he came in wasn't a lot. In terms of the players that are there that make up the 11, Jota wasn't there, Vickers wasn't there, Starfelt came in very late. Hart, many, many players there that probably haven't had the time with Ange in the training ground that he would like to have had. You know, could we see a different Celtic team come January when we come back?
I'd hope so. We've got a manager that's got a reputation of developing young players, and he does that on the training ground and be spending time with them and working on them and getting his ideas across. So, you know, the more time he gets to spend with them, you know, he's get a bigger opportunity to influence them and how they perform on the park. I don't know if David Kelly's maybe meaning he's... Taylor takes a lot of stick, actually. really rate with Greg, but he takes a lot of sticks. So I think some people saying he gets better when he's injured, i.e. we forget how bad he's been beforehand. And you know, but for me, you know, he's got a good assist record, Scotland international. The two boys keep him out of the team are Robertson and Tierney. He's what, 23? You know, he's got loads of room to develop. I mean, that's a really young defence, if you look across it. So,
mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
This week on The Marketer's Report, Patrizio Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct-to-Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on building trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all, every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the data you need to grow. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Yeah, I think we will see a better team the more that time Ange's got to work with them. You know, we're just back after an international break and look at the performance we put in. You know, arguably, you know, a lot of that will be down to Ange getting more time to work with them. I think as we go on, the team seems to be varying the play more, and whether that's they learn a bit of Ange's system and he goes, right, you've got that, now add this bit in and add this bit in. So, yeah, Jared talked about it from, you know, Boys Down Under, that your first season's really about building and getting the team to play. It's the second season they really go. So you can see this team kind of progressing throughout the season. So it'd be brilliant to watch next season if Jared's right. You know, if the second season's going to be even better than performances this season, it's going to be, I think, phenomenal.
2022 could be quite a thrilling year to watch Celtic, Patrick. But there's a few important points, I think, that Lawrence touches on there. You know, players coming back in, adapting to the system, adding bits to the system. But one of the points he's touched on there is, since we've come back after the break, it's been high-pressure games. We're not breaking out Celtic's, a lot of pressure, but we've come through a semi-final of the League Cup, and a game that was always going to be very difficult came through it. Two great wins at home to Aberdeen and Hart. You know, the best performances to watch, but, you know, 6 points between them. And games that we thoroughly deserve to win. I thought we were very dominant in both games in terms of that. And again, you know, we missed out in Leverkusen. Probably was a worry between us because we get such a great run of form between the previous international break and up until that one. And we've came back and again just slipped right back into where we were. It just shows the feel-good factor that must be around Lennox Town just there. When you can see that in the park, when you've got the players interacting with the fans and the manager interacting with the fans, everything just there is positive. And in a few weeks' time, Ange has the chance to kind of, you know, tick a box off and hopefully bring back silverware to Celtic Park.
Yeah, and, you know, in the first week of that last international break when he won the October Manager of the Month award, he was quoted as saying he's sort of been avoiding looking at the heavy fixture list he's got. But, you know, we've handled it pretty well. If the results we've had, if you were to say to me before the international break, would you take that? I'd have certainly taken it so far. You know, to narrowly miss out on a result away to Leverkusen is phenomenal, especially when you consider the scoreline in the first game. And then just to go back to your 2022 comment, I think Ange said on Sky, I think midweek last week, that he's actually 12 months away from being where he wants to be at. And, you know, we think we're flying just now. If he's right about what he's saying, then we're going to be some team this time next season. But, you know, it's going well. You know, you've just got another... I think you've got... Ange didn't say it's a rest for certain players. It's a chance for other players to play. And I think it's a bit of both, really, because I think we do need to rest certain players. I think I read that David Turnbull was the only player to start every single game this season. So he's one that you'd definitely be resting. Against Betis on Thursday. McGregor kind of had time out in September, but he was injured. So, and he's been playing for Scotland during all the international breaks when other players have had a rest. So you'd maybe look at resting him. Kyogo's effectively played a full season now, so you'd be resting him as well. And then you're maybe looking at players like, I don't know, Abada maybe. I'm not entirely sure. But you're probably taking three or four players out for Betis and trying to rotate the squad a bit and then just back onto league business against Motherwell, because at home you have to fancy yourself the way we're playing. You have to fancy yourself, and you know, it's just another opportunity to sort of cement the style and improve under Ange.
Yeah, Motherwell will be a tough fixture. Obviously, Tony Watt is the league's top goalscorer at this point in time, so they'll come to Celtic Park and, you know, try their luck against us. And again, at Fir Park, very, very dominant performance from us there. It was 2-4 or 5. But Rolls came in the comments to Lawrence to say he would like to see Scales have 90 minutes against Betis. Now, the comment that was spoke, as a tackling, we want everyone up and running. He's came off the bench on Sunday, but obviously we've seen flash of him. We've seen him play against Fenerbahce, we've seen him against Brave Rovers, etc. Great goal to come on, but looked very composed as well at the back four. And you know, it would be good to get all these guys up and running. I think Thursday's a real opportunity that, because Patrick touches on there, you know, Sunday's more important than Thursday, just due to the fact that it's not a dead rubber. You know, we want Celtic to win on Thursday, of course we do, but the 3 points is much more important against Motherwell than it will be against Real Betis.
Yeah, definitely. I think with Scales, the problem is we've got Taylor, who also needs minutes, so we might see both of them for 45 minutes. You know, but yeah, but the man just said it, he wants to get everyone up and running. You might see McCarthy and Beaton both in the midfield. You know, maybe McGregor further forward, maybe Rogic, because Rogic's only just back. But it's definitely a time where we've got a bit of luxury in this game, haven't we? You know, it doesn't matter if we win, lose or draw in this. It's really about Ange using it to get the best out of his squad, get them prepared for the run to the transfer window opening. I mean, everything seems to be going our way these days. We've got even got referees making decisions for us. It was all over the news last week. I'm sure we're going to see something similar this week on the decisions that didn't go for us. No doubt the head of refereeing, or I can't remember his name, he'll be coming out on BBC pretty shortly just to talk about it.
Yeah, and Patrick, it's good to see that some people have managed to move on from 1989 and Roy Aitken's throwing. to look at this, another comment coming in from one of our regular contributors is saying that we can't just assume that all three Japanese guys will settle as easily as Kyogo. He's thrown in the names of Patrick Berg and Kevin Nesbitt. Is that a worry? Because obviously, you know, we're all very excited about looking at the Japanese market. We looked at the J League, but Ange just said he knew what he was getting with Kyogo. He was 26, he knew he was going to settle, he would adapt to the culture. Is there a wee bit of a worry that, you know, all three of them may come in and one or two might not adapt to Scotland so quickly, and then you might have a bit of an issue? And what do you make of the other two players there that's been mentioned in Bergen and Nesbitt?
I think the only players that haven't really adapted to Scotland, you could maybe say Barkas, but you don't know if that's a confidence thing. I think with Ayeti, you could say Ayeti's not adapted, but I just think he's a bad football player, if I'm being honest. I just don't think he's good enough. Maybe the price tag didn't help, but he's not shown anything to prove to me that he's a Celtic-level player, Celtic-quality player. On the players mentioned, I mean, if Patrick Berg comes in, McGregor's definitely getting moved forward, because you've got to play a player like Patrick Berg, and you can't be dropping Callum McGregor. If we sign Patrick Berg, I'll be very excited about next season. I'll be very excited about the next half of this season as well, because he's been phenomenal in the Europa League for... Is it Bodo Glimt, I think he plays for? Mm-hmm. Kevin Nesbitt, I'm not that sold on. I sort of wanted us to sign him in the summer, but he's not had the best of starts this season at Hibs. It's hard to tell with players at other clubs in Scotland how good they are or not. I wouldn't mind taking a punt on him, but anything over 2.5 or 3 million, I'd probably pass on that. I think we can get better elsewhere. Can probably get better in Japan, or, you know, Ange mentioned South Korea in the media as well. That's another league I think we're going to be looking at. And I think we spoke about Iran on the podcast last week as well. So, you know, there's loads of markets all over the world that we could be diving into. And to spend any sort of money on Kevin Nesbitt, I'm not just too sure.
Yeah, you know, I've seen him in flashes, you and I, for Scotland as well. Obviously, we've seen him for Hibs, so it's very hard to judge him. But Lawrence, the few players that we're looking at in the G League just say we've been linked at, as Patrick said, is Maeda, left winger slash striker. Hatate, who we know can play as a defender and he can play in midfield. The other chap escapes a bit. Six and he plays as that central defensive midfielder. These are all positions that we probably do need to sign for him. You know, if we can get these deals done, it's a no-brainer. But there obviously is that worry against work permits and stuff like that, because it's going to be difficult. You know, COVID, we know, hasn't went away, and try to get them in and whatnot is going to be tough. But if we can get those deals done, and if that's what Ange wants, then we need to get them done as soon as possible and not hang about like we usually do in any transfer window.
Yeah, you'd want them, these three in the first day, wouldn't you? You know, the deal's done, and hopefully no delays in registrations or anything. Just get them in and registered in time, or everything approved to go straight into the squad. Maeda looks rapid. I think, you know, he's worked under Ange. He'd really compliment Kyogo in his pressing. He looks so quick. It's a market, Ange knows. You know, he's had a look at the squad, and he said it's 12 months away. You know, one of these guys might just be a stopgap, saying, look, we'll see what he gives us over the 12 months. Who knows? But brilliant to get him in. This bit, I think's, you know, a decent player, but it's the amount of money we'd need to spend on him. I think we've touched on it. It's, you know, we generally don't spend loads in January. I think Hibs would be looking for 4 or 5 million for Nisbet. And I think for us, you know, how many players could we get for that money? What kind of quality of players could we get? You know, the 5 million might buy all three boys for Japan, potentially. So I think it probably rules out Nisbet. Berg, again, it's cash. Number six. I think we've got three cracker number sixes. For me, it's probably, you know, and there's sorrow there. So I wouldn't say we need to bring in another number six. You know, we've got McGregor, McCarthy, Beaton. I think, you know, left back, I think we all recognise Taylor could do with a bit of competition there. You know, a lot of people don't think he's first choice. Maybe we should be buying somebody of Juranovic's quality for left back. But then we've got Scales, and have we really seen enough of Scales to judge him? He looked composed when he came on. Way to that finish was, I thought it was brilliant. It was like a striker taking it away. He opened up his body, and you know, defenders are more likely to just absolutely lash that over the bar, aren't they? But he was so composed with it. So I think we did kind of need to get through and say the midfield really needs strengthened. I think it's our attacking options that are lacking. Giacomakis, it just seems, wasn't fit, injured, not up to speed. I think we're really needing another option up front, especially, you know, if we could find somebody to buy a Yeti. I'm not too sure if we could find someone out there. Probably look for a guy with a guide dog. But yeah, we need to kind of go through it and see, right, where do we need strengthened? And I think, you know, up front, there are attacking options.
Eddie Gucci's the name that was... I forgot to have her on, but again, if we do bring him in, Patty, what does that say about McCarthy, Sorrell, Beaton, if we're going to buy another number six? Because he's certainly not the position. I don't think we do need to strengthen him at this point in time. Or does that tell you that the manager, one, doesn't fancy, two, McCarthy maybe not his signing as such, and I think he's maybe just coming as that stopgap signing, or is it just, you know, strengthening the squad and we might see one depart?
I mean, thinking on that, we do have sort of four players who are available in that number six position. You're then buying a defensive midfielder, so that's five players. You know, the comment about Patrick Berg, I think he's such a quality player that I think, you know, I'd be driving Beaton to the airport in that scenario, because I think if you can get a player like that for a good fee, you have to sign him. But you know, if we're going to be signing our fifth number six, I just don't think it's going to be happening, is it? I know. It's whether it's a stopgap or not, I'm not sure, because you sort of wonder where he sees McGregor, because we'll talk about how well McGregor can play in all three positions. If we're signing a fifth player, presumably he's going to be fifth in the pecking order. He might already be above Sorrow, you know. You just don't know. But you obviously don't need five players in one position, so... He might be looking at playing McGregor further forward, and I think it's less likely the Japanese guy will be a stopgap. I think it's more likely that the players we've seen so far are stopgaps.
Possibly.
because we do have four already in there. To buy a fifth player as a stopgap, it seems a bit. I don't know if that makes sense, but you don't know. I'm sure Ange knows what he's doing, and the good thing about signing Japanese players is they're almost certainly his buys, and he is effectively the manager and the director of football in the one person. So he's revolutionising the football club, modernising the football club in a way we probably hoped Brendan Rodgers was going to do. And, you know, if he thinks he's got a player, then you just need to back him and you need to get him over the line.
Yeah, 100%. Pinball must be a Who fan coming in here, Lawrence, to say that he thinks that a Yeti would do well on a full-strength team. I just think the way that we play football, the 4-3-3, I don't think Albert Yeti's to do it before. And I've said multiple times, you know, but the way that we bought in the summer of 2020, we were certainly setting up for a 3-5-2 or playing two strikers up front. It never came to fruition. I know we ended up going to that at 4-1-2-1-2, not to give you any post-traumatic stress disorders from last season, but I just don't think Ayeti's going to do it in an Ange Postecoglou team, just for the amount of what's expected of the front three in terms of the runners, what you expect.
Yeah, I don't. It doesn't seem like a guy that closes down. He seems like, you know, he plays as part of a partnership up front. He plays as one of number two. Listen, so obviously he's the third choice striker already. I think if Ange really fancied him, we might have seen more of a development player rather than Giakoumakis come in. I mean, he came in straight to number two, you know, straight away he's your option ahead of Ayeti. Ayeti's got, you know, he's come from the Premiership. He's going to be on big money. I think it's one of those guys. You know, if you can get any money back from him, brilliant. If you can get him off the wage bill, even better. It's, you know, I think he'd be on 12 grand.
I think it would have been more than that.
I think more.
Yeah,
you know, it was weird.
He came from West Ham, £5 million. I think he'll be pushing 18,000 pounds a week easily.
We need to get him off. And he was one of those players like Skepovic that had to be persuaded, you know, it dragged out. And I think. You know what? I think Strachan said that if they don't want to come here and play in front of 60,000 and win trophies, I don't think we should be hanging about for them. I think maybe the club should learn that, you know, if it gets dragged out in public for a couple of weeks before a player will sign, they're probably not for us. I mean, look at the way the Eddie Howe or who or whatever get dragged out, that don't work. It should be, you know, a deal that I think's done quickly. Yeah, they want to play for us or don't. And I think, yeah, Ayeti had kind of won and sit signals from the beginning, just the way it dragged out. And if you can move him, brilliant. You know, I think we could all say him, Barkas, Sorrow.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet, but if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know, it's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
It's the Marketer's Report. This week, Patrizia Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct to Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on the difficult task of building and retaining consumer trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy. And we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent. The best thing for us to do is to build a relationship with our consumers. And if those consumers have a relationship with the DJs that are on air, then we want to build on that. House of the Dragon, which was one of our most successful, if not the most successful campaign we've ever done for a show, audio was a core part of that.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. Not just a media company, iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
The three of them could go tomorrow, as far as I'm concerned, and hopefully bring in something that we can use to strengthen.
Yeah, Michael's come in the comments, and this could be a shout. He's ensured a team in Switzerland would take him. Basel, he did have a good record with Basel, coupled by Moyen Lanusse over there. But again, it depends on the price tag. I mean, we're certainly not going to recoup the £5 million that we definitely spent on him.
Well, his wages as well, though, for Switzerland, won't it?
Yeah, it will be.
He'll need to take a cut,
won't he? We'll need to take the cut. And on that, Patrick, you know, Thursday night could be another opportunity actually for Albion. You've spoken about, you know, Kyogo probably getting a rest due to the volume of games that he's played. You know, Albion, we've seen him obviously scored those two really important goals against Ross County this season. Two goals against Ross County, that right? He certainly scored against Ross County. If I get the wrong game.
Well, Carter Vickers scored one against Ross County. So we only won 3-0. Was it 2?
Was that again then? I'm right.
Well,
no, so Johnson was 2-0, Ross County was 3-0, so it was definitely Ross County. But we might, you know, see him in action on Thursday night. I actually thought he did okay over in Betis. I think it was Ayeti that started the game over there. Probably I will move Vasilis Barkas to that you'd like to shift out just due to the wages that they're probably taking up at this point in time.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the cost is $9.5 million, and then they're costing us $40,000 a week in wages as well for 18 months. It's a phenomenal sum of money, really. I mean, you can talk about how much money you make in sell-on fees with players like Edward and Ayer, but it's totally undone by these really, really poor signings. I mean, I'd go as far as saying if one person was responsible for both of those players, I'd sack them, because that's a terrible outlay for what you're getting back. Because you'd be lucky to get $3 million in sell-on fees, and that would barely recoup the wages that we've paid them. So you're talking about a loss of £10 million over the course of 18 months. It's absolutely astounding, really, for a club that's operating on a turnover of less than $100 million. But, you know, it probably will start against Betis, and you're right, he did play quite well away. And I actually thought he was going to kick on a wee bit, you know.
Yeah, so did I.
Because he did play that well. He was actually pressing their defenders and their goalkeeper. And Angie said, you know, that was the game where he thought the players were really buying into what he was doing. So, you know, it is an opportunity for him, but it's probably an opportunity for him to put himself in the shop window, because he's not going to make it at Celtic. I just can't see it. Once Maeda comes in, he's fourth choice, and you're not fighting your way back from fourth choice, I don't think.
Not unless you're Tommy Coyne.
I know who Tommy Coyne is. I don't think I'll be able to probably lace Tommy Coyne's boots at this point in time, though, Lord.
Definitely not, mate. If Coyne had an extra half yard, he'd have been playing for Madrid, I think. He was phenomenal.
One of these points, Michael's coming in, I think it's probably what we were talking about earlier, Patrick, with James McCarthy. I think the point me and you were making at that point in time was, you know, the squad was so threadbare. I imagine the Celtic transfer strategy in the summer was a point of, you know, offering the manager different players and telling him to pick, whereas not going out and getting his own players. So I think probably Ange gave the nod to all the players that came in, bar maybe Osasi, Origi, and Liam Shaw, because they were already done. But the point that we're trying to make is, you know, McCarthy just doesn't, on the basis, look as if he is an Ange Postecoglou signing, but he probably was given the nod to take him. Because, you know, we do know that James McCarthy is a quality player and can do it in the Premier League before the 4-year deal was a bit odd, but we do hope he kicks on for Celtic because we know there is a player there.
Yeah, I mean, the point is that Ange would instigate the Japanese signings.
Say that again, Patrick.
Ange would instigate the Japanese signings, whereas, you know, it's not him who's instigating the James McCarthy signing or the Joe Hart signing, for example. Not to say that they're bad players or they're bad signings. You know, Joe Hart's turned out to be phenomenal for £1 million. But you just know that when you're signing from Japan, the very first step is definitely going to be Ange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Or if we have set up any kind of scouting in Japan, which I do imagine what we probably did ever since Postecoglou arrived, and it's probably a mixture between. In terms of players coming in, Lawrence, you know, it was 3-0 at the weekend, but it probably could have been 6 or 7 had it not been for the man between the sticks and Sigrist for Dundee United. Would he be a player you'd be interested in for the right amount of money?
Is he free at the end of the season? Is he coming up at the end of his contract?
Possibly. I don't think you'd be paying any more than £1 million for him anyway.
I think Bain's been offered a new contract. Is it Toby Oluwemu? England under-19 seems to be a future ahead of him. We've got Ross Doohan and we've got Conor Hazard. Conor's already playing for the north of Ireland. So, yeah. what we're going to do with all the goalkeepers. I'm assuming by this time, Barkas would be away. So, you know, if you're bringing in Sigrist, you've just given Bain a contract. Well, where does Toby, Ross and Connor fit in then? So, for me, if Bain gets a contract, why are we spending money in Sigrist? I think that's what it comes down to, because he's just going to be a blocker for three players that I'd like to see getting some minutes. You know, I think Connor and Ross, you know, they're about 24, aren't they? 23, 24. They've got to be looking at you like, you know, are they going to get a chance to be the second choice? I know Connor, many would say, won his the quadruple treble with his performance at the penalties. And I know Big Chris put away the winning penalties, but Connor certainly performed admirably. For me, no. Sigrist, I know. It's just too many goalkeepers. Again, it's like, why invest money there when we've got all these keepers? Barkas is gone. Ange has made the decision to offer Bain a contract. You know, we're not offering him a contract to get rid of him. You know, if we're going to get rid of him, just get rid of him. So, you wouldn't... Yeah, for me, it's a no. I want to kind of see... I mean, Toby's been getting some great write-ups on his performances. I'd really like to see him getting a chance. I know he's been on the bench in Europe a few times. Tell you what, maybe Thursday's a chance to do that. Put Hart on the bench and shove Toby between the sticks and just let's see what he's got.
Yeah, it's a possibility, because, you know, Joe Hart is so pivotal to what we do just now, Patrick. And, you know, and again, you're obviously taking a risk in training with him, but probably a risk you don't need to take. One of the points coming in here, I think, really interesting, is from Mappy in the comments saying priority is to get Ange signed up. Now, I've seen a few people in the comments talking about this. Do you think Celtic will eventually do that, Patrick? Because I think Ange, as far as I know, is in the traditional kind of years rolling contract with the club. The only manager in the past few years, I think, that got a long-term deal was Brendan Rodgers. I think they gave him a 3 or 4 year contract.
4 year contract time.
Is it just a case of 4 year contract? Is it the case of just getting Silverware over the line first before we make any decisions like that?
Well, that's what happened with Rodgers. You know, we won the League Cup was it November or December in 2016? Won the League Cup late part of the first half November. Of the season. Against Aberdeen 2-0. And we won the league on the 2nd of April 2017, and I think within a week we'd given him a 4 year deal. So I think we all knew Rodgers was the real deal well before that, but to get a league over the line, you know, the league was over the line in January that year anyway, but to get the league title over the line, the board I think probably waited and then gave him a new deal. I'd probably give Ange a new deal just now. I mean, he's obviously got something. We're only getting better, and we're bringing in quality players all the time, and you know that he's part of that. So I'd jump at the chance to give him a new deal. How long he wants to stay for, I don't know, because, you know, he is 56.
Hopefully a long time.
Aye, hopefully a long time. But, you know, he is 56, so he's probably only got 2 or 3 more jobs in him, and he probably wants to manage at the top level. Not to say Celtic can't be at the top level. I think under Ange we probably could be. But, you know, maybe one of those top 5 leagues or something. You just don't know his personal ambitions. Because, you know, he does say he backs himself. And I think if he didn't back himself, he wouldn't have made it to Celtic. Because he's came in on his own. But no, I'd give him what he wants, personally. And I wouldn't wait until April or May for him to lift a title for us to do that.
Yeah, sign him up. I mean, rumour has it he's bought a dog, Declan. And called it Declan. So, yeah. So, you know, maybe he's decided he's staying for a while. Is it true, Declan? I don't know, mate. You seem to meet him quite a lot.
If he needs it walked, I don't know. If he needs it walked, I'll be more than happy to do it for him. But, you know, there is a balance coming in here. You know, I'd be of the opinion of both you guys that I would get him signed up. But David's coming in here to see, you know, if you give him a loan deal and he fails, it costs us millions. You know, we can predict the future. I don't think he will fail at Celtic. I will go out and say that just now. I think he will be successful.
If somebody comes in for him and he's on a long-term deal, we make millions. You know, opposed to 9 million compensation for Rodgers. So I think it's the balance, isn't it? You know, if you keep him on a 1 year deal, you don't get a lot of compensation for him. If you move him on to a longer term deal, yeah, it costs you more if it doesn't work out, but you also get more if someone comes in to take him off you.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it is a fine balance, as you say, Lawrence. You know, I would hope that, you know, I don't think Ange's like Brendan Rodgers, that he would sneak away in the middle of the night and drag everything off your fireplace and put them in a bag and leave. But, you know, I would hope that Ange is here for a long time. And, you know, people are reminding us in the comments saying, you know, it's great to beat Rangers. We've only played them once under Ange Postecoglou. He's out of two European competitions. I think, you know, you need to look at that Midtjylland game and what we had in the park and throughout this group, even, you know, the challenge that was already there with some teams. I know it flashes. We've looked at a good side, but again, Ange was even very honest in saying that we weren't at that level yet. We're going to get a crack at the conference. Hopefully, we'll be adding players to the side to do it. And we've not had any silverware yet, but again, we've got he's given himself the best chance of doing that by putting himself in a final right away. So it is a long term.
On the silverware, we must give a nod to the ladies who delivered the cup against Glasgow City.
On you go, Lawrence. Yep.
You know, great to get that in, and hopefully, you know, the boys can do what the girls have done and add a cup before the year's out. I think, you know, it's great for them to beat Glasgow City. They've been dominating that for so long. So Fran Alonso's doing a fantastic job there. So hopefully, you know, Ange is going to do a similar job, deliver his League Cup before the year's out. Good transfer window. And I think if you're still in touch at the top and have a good transfer window, we'll go on and win the league. I mean, everybody's excited by the type of football he's playing as well. And look, there's not loads of loan players that haven't worked out like last season. You know, at one point you're going, right, Kenny, loan player, Laxalt, loan player, Duffy. You know, your team is almost built on loan players. At least he's bringing in young players that it seems to be developing. They seem to be getting week and week. So, yeah, I think Ange will add Celtic second piece of silverware this season before the year's out, just to add it to the women's.
Yep, fingers crossed he does. David Kelly said to me, we'll see where we are come the second. Well, come May, and I hope I'm proving you wrong in this one, because I do think Ange will be successful at Celtic. I was on Saturday of the weekend, and I know Lawrence was involved too. Thanks to everybody that, you know, was in the comments, watched the streams, donated whatever they had. It's went a long way. The money we've raised has been absolutely sensational, and the auction is up on eBay just now. You can find us at Celtic State of Mind on eBay. Some great bits of Celtic memorabilia there that you can bid on, which will go to our final total that will go to St Mary's and St Alphonsus. Very important to do that. And, you know, I think the scale of the money that we've raised, Patrick's been absolutely phenomenal. And I know you want to just give a wee shout out to another cause that me and you're both part of too.
Yes. University of Strathclyde Celtic Supporters Club are doing, you saw, I think it's our second time we've done it. It's a Christmas appeal for, you know, there's going to be a food bank collection at the student union at Strathclyde between 10 and 2. So just sort of bring along anything you can. And then on
this Friday,
it'll be my Twitter page, your Twitter page, and the Strathclyde Celtic Supporters Club Twitter page. You can donate any sort of cash that you want. I know we're constantly asking you for money on this because I've just been a charity weekender, but it's all for a good cause. So even if you could just retweet it and see if anyone else will donate money, just anything you've got.
You know what we should be donate. Asking?
Thank you very much.
We should be asking Celtic to help out St Mary's, where it all began. You know, if the Axholm and the rest of the Celtic pod viewers can raise over 20,000 quid, we're Celtic this. Because that is, you know, day zero for Celtic. That's where the club was formed. You know, where's the Celtic Charitable Foundation? You know, why aren't they stepping in and helping the St Mary's, you know, ground zero for Celtic? It's in trouble just now. It needs the cash. You'd really expect Celtic to be stepping up. And I don't think any of the fans would be against the Charitable Foundation stepping in and helping the parish that gave us Celtic. Yeah, again, you know, it's an easy one. You know, if the board would help the board perhaps reconnect with the fans, if they could take actions like this. But won't hold our breath in Celtic doing it, but it'd be great if they could. And I think also we've got the auction online as well now, the Axholm auction. There's some signed goods there to try and raise a wee bit more for the parish. But I think Paul John will be tweeting all that out as well.
Yep. As I say, the auction is up on eBay. You can find us at a Celtic State of Mind. There's signed Danny McGrain memorabilia up there, George Conley memorabilia, Bertie Old. I think there's a signed jersey from from Bertie, and there's some other great pieces. So check that out if you can. And thanks again for all the comments today. Thanks to everybody that tuned in over the weekend. Thanks to everybody that donated. And to Lawrence Conley and Patrick McGill, thank you for joining me in A Celtic State of Mind.
Message and data rates may apply. Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration experts, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today, because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to anyone that texts EASY to 203203. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad, because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part? Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let Bosley show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text EASY to 203203. That's EASY to 203203.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.